and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. This might be awkward. In a few days, President-elect Donald Trump will be face-to-face with a man he's long called Crooked Joe Biden. Here's CBS's Catherine Watson.
President Biden and President-elect Trump will meet in the Oval Office on Wednesday morning. Mr. Biden called President-elect Trump earlier this week to congratulate him on his victory. The president has assured the nation there will be a peaceful transfer of power, and both he and Vice President Harris have pledged to help the Trump transition team.
CBS's Bradley Blackburn says the names of some of the candidates for a senior position in Trump's cabinet have been leaked.
Since his speech on election night, President-elect Donald Trump has stayed away from the cameras. But behind the scenes, he's said to be taking calls and shaping a shortlist for his second administration. For Secretary of State, Tennessee Senator Bill Hagerty, Rick Grenell, former ambassador to Germany, and Florida Senator Marco Rubio are being floated.
Officials in Qatar will no longer act as mediators between Israel and Hamas. They say it's because neither side appears to want to make a peace deal. The BBC's Joe Inwood in Jerusalem says this is not a good sign.
This appears to be another blow for negotiations that had already stalled. The Qataris had played a key role, as well as hosting the political leadership of Hamas. The group could relocate to Turkey, where officials have recently been spending more time. This would maintain lines of diplomatic communication, but maybe not offer the same safety from assassinations as Qatar.
Well, this is something you don't hear too often. Wildfires are burning in New Jersey. Bill Donnelly is the chief of the state's Forest Fire Service.
Things have been dry. It's been crazy dry, actually. The New Jersey Forest Fire Service in general has responded over to 400 fires last month and roughly 40-some fires between yesterday and today.
Residents of Camarillo, California are being told to stop drinking their tap water. Officials fear the city's water system has been poisoned by toxins that seeped in as wildfires burned in the area. Local Water District General Manager Ian Pritchard on how the toxins might have gotten into the water.
They're really sized to fight fires in the largest structure in the area. They're not built to fight wildfire. Hundreds of fire engines hooking up to these hydrants at one time. And really what that does is it stresses the system.
The Radio City Rockettes have lit up the Empire State Building to kick off the holidays. Rockette Emily King is in her seventh season of performing with the troupe.
I really did always grow up wanting to be a Rockette. I was lucky enough to see the spectacular for the first time when I was 14 years old. And once I saw that, it was a done deal.
And the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree has arrived, a 74-foot Norway spruce, a sure sign the holiday season is beginning. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
More good news for you. Community Stories Junior starts November 14th. It'll air on WFHR on Thursdays from 5 to 6 with me, your host, Melissa Kay.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. New CDC data shows 3 out of every 4 high school students across the country say they've experienced at least one adverse childhood event. That can include violence in the home, parents separating, and any kind of abuse. Scientists are learning that these events can be connected to substance use disorders and even chronic illness or autoimmune problems. Nadia Ramlagan reports.
Research shows these experiences, called ACEs, can alter a child's brain chemistry and produce a prolonged, sometimes lifelong, toxic stress response. Licensed psychologist and member of Kentucky's Bounce Coalition, Joe Barjone.
We're seeing some of the same kinds of patterns that increase sense of loneliness, isolation in our youth, increase levels of suicide ideation, exposure to violence, exposure to adverse childhood experiences.
Experiencing at least one ACE as a child is linked to having alcohol and substance use problems as an adult, as well as chronic diseases such as diabetes and obesity. Childhood trauma costs states. According to the National Governors Association, adults with ACEs can lead to billions of dollars in healthcare costs and lost productivity. Barjone adds, schools can help address the youth and mental health crisis by cultivating a sense of belonging and connectedness, as well as increasing suicide prevention programs.
Promoting mental health awareness, teaching kids around social emotional learning and dealing with their emotions in an effective way, increase mental health services.
The most recent data from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services is only from 2018 to 19. but it shows nearly 40% of Wisconsin kids had at least one adverse childhood experience. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has its Trauma Sensitive Schools Initiative, which helps educators help kids in public school districts. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy with showers and drizzle tonight, lows mid-40s. Early rain for Sunday, then mostly cloudy, highs low 50s. Sunshine's back for Monday, highs upper 40s to 50. And mostly sunny into Tuesday, a little warmer, highs into the low 50s. Currently 51 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
This is producer Greg, and Pat's on vacation all next week, but don't worry, we got special guest hosts Todd Alba, Matt Rothschild, and Luke Mathers. Don't miss it.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome in to Hour 2 of the Civic Media Spotlight. First up, we'll hear from the Dom Salvia Show, along with co-host for the day, Jim Santel. Together, they try and piece together the multiple legal cases pending against President-elect Donald Trump, and if any of them will have an effect going forward.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, at the table with me. Jess P.S. on the boards. Callers, be patient. We will get you. I want to get Jim's opinion on the status of some of these civil and criminal cases that are pending against the former and soon-to-be President Donald Trump.
It is tough to say out loud, isn't it? Right.
I don't think I've said it out loud yet.
It's a passage, Jess. It's a passage.
I've written it. I haven't said it out loud yet.
Do we have to call him? We don't have to call him that. We can call him like a rapist or something, can't we?
We can use accurate titles.
We can call him a convicted felon.
There we go.
Yeah.
WMDX texter 920. Is it disrespectful to address Donald Trump as the future first felon in chief?
There's legal support for that for doing just that, right? Right. And there's a point, if I can use that good text as a springboard. It is a stunning thing to say it out loud, Jess, but in 19 days from now, the president-elect of the United States of America is going to be appearing in a Manhattan court to be sentenced by a criminal judge for 34 counts of violations of the criminal law in New York. That's going to happen. Unless Juan Merchan, in which case I'm going to be all over the criticism of him, right? Unless Juan Merchan, and he should not. And I hope that he does not postpone this further. He's done it twice already. But absent that, Juan Merchan needs to go ahead and sentence the president-elect of the United States of America for the crimes that he committed against the people of the state of New York. Isn't that a stunning thing to say out loud?
It really is.
He will not be sending Donald Trump to jail, so he can't attend.
But he could.
He could.
Okay, he could.
He could.
So I am now saying, Juan Merchan, if you do sentence him to jail, you should send him right then and there.
Exactly. He can order that. What will happen, of course, is his attorneys will run immediately to the appeals court and ask for a stay of that. Chances are the appeals court will
grant that stay. Do it on a Friday. Make him cool his heels over the weekend. Right. You know, you get him out on Monday. Right. Sorry, so we're closed. It's a holiday.
You're thinking like somebody who knows the system well, Dom, right? Exactly. But appeals court will almost certainly stay that because there will be some issues about the trial itself. And beyond that, assuming that Juan Merchan does not stay it, this goes up in appeal. And so it'll be several years before that will be completely adjudicated. The significant thing about that, of course, is the state case. By the way, Juan Merchan sometime next week is also going to issue his own order on whether or not that Supreme Court immunity ruling requires him to get rid of the case. Again, prediction here, he will not buy into that theory, but that may be as soon as next week. So something to talk about when we get together then.
All right.
But assuming that Juan Merchan does what he should now do to bring this thing to a close in the district court, it'll be pending out there for a while. But again, wouldn't it be stunning?
Okay, so the other one would be the state case. We're talking about the state case in Georgia. Fani Willis, still, I guess, ultimately on appeal whether or not she can actually remain on the case. I mean, this thing's in its infancy yet, this RICO case. There's a lot of other folks indicted with him in this RICO case, so how does that flush out?
Sure. So right now, again, exactly that, Dom, the decision of Scott McAfee, who was the state court judge there. Yep. He's the one who said, you know what, I don't like what you did, Fani. This looks kind of bad, but it's not a conflict of interest, so stay on the case. Donald Trump and others among that great number of defendants in that RICO case, sweeping case, appeal that to the appeals court there. That's where it's pending right now. That case, also a state case, not subject to Donald Trump's getting rid of it somehow through the Department of Justice. There's another thing we should talk about, though, in connection with all of that. But that can also, that'll also be subject to some resolution probably late this year, maybe early next year, by the appeals court there in Georgia. Almost certainly, I like to think, saying that the Scott McAfee's decision, which was, again, well thought out, that stands. She can stay on the case. She also, may recall, appealed Scott McAfee's dismissal of some counts. Remember this? And that's also pending. So we're going to get a couple of things coming out of the appeals court there. Again, a state case. And again, it could proceed in sometime into 2025. The footnote that I've sort of hinted at before is just this. When it comes to prosecutions and certainly sentencings, those kinds of things, even in the federal system, there's sort of a doctrine inside the Department of Justice says we don't prosecute sitting presidents. Doesn't directly apply to state prosecutions, but you know well that defense counsel will raise that issue and attempt to stop that prosecution in Georgia from going ahead while Donald Trump is the incumbent in the White House. There is also a notion out there that if the state of Georgia, for example, were somehow to sentence him during the course of his term and literally send people out there to get him in the handcuffs, that might be, again, think about this. It's never been tested. We don't do this, but I haven't done this before, that because that would be some state action, effectively overcoming the, forgive me for describing it this way, the will of the remaining states, the will of the people, and basically stopping a president from doing what he's supposed to do, that you would have to stay, that is, postpone any, again, execution of that state case until after he leaves the White House. And again, all that's all theory. Nobody has ever tested that. It's not been before the Supreme Court. There is a non-frivolous argument about the notion that a single state prosecution should not overcome the decision by the American public to put somebody in the White House. That's a national federal decision. And again,
states' rights, baby. What are you talking about,
and
man?
That's the argument, right?
It's so bad, too bad you voted for a felon who tried to overthrow the government. The people of Georgia were harmed by this.
Right. People of New York were harmed by something
exactly.
as well. So you've got those arguments out there. It is the kind of thing that, again, could animate our discussions, my friend, well into 2025 as we think about all of these things we never had to think about for presidents who are not subject to criminal prosecutions in state courts. This is unprecedented in American history.
I can't wait to be president. It's going to be great. James Santel, former U.S. attorney. Okay, let's get to the federal cases then. Of course, the documents case, the mother lode, the secret documents that Trump hoarded as the billionaire hoards in his house, even after swearing or notifying or testifying or writing that, oh, we gave everything back, it's all fine. That case, the Jack Smith case, and of course also Tanya Chutkan on the D.C. insurrection case. The headlines I'm seeing, Jim, says looks like Smith's getting ready to pack his bags.
He's packing up, apparently, and we don't know if that's absolutely certain. The status of the documents case, of course, is that you've got Eileen Cannon, who could be on a shortlist either for Attorney General or maybe a next Supreme Court spot.
God,
think about that just to make yourself feel good about your nation here. She has dismissed that case entirely on the unfounded, again, unprecedented notion that Jack Smith didn't have authority. Clarence Thomas is the only person who's bought into that crazy theory. It's up before the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. They will almost certainly reverse her. And I would offer to you, Dom, that it's important that they do that for a couple of reasons. One is you don't want that precedent out there that you can get rid of a special counsel, special prosecutor like this. It's important for the department to establish that as a moving and active theory out there. And then you also, for reasons just beyond that theory, you want to send a message about Eileen Cannon. She's done it again. She is out there alone. And the 11th Circuit, which is not exactly a liberal circuit, not as conservative as the 5th Circuit is, but 11th Circuit coming back and once again telling her, Eileen, you're wrong about this. And maybe in some way, that dampens some spirit about her next job employment, maybe in Washington. But all those things, they're still out there. The issue that you just raised is just this, and that is the Department of Justice has this, again, not, it's not in stone, it's not legislative, it's not constitutional, that you can't prosecute a sitting president. Donald Trump right now is not sitting. And so maybe there's some thought that Jack Smith with Merrick Garland are going to say, let's dismiss this now and bring this to an end.
No!
My own advocacy is, you know what? Let's go with the Tanya Chutkan approach. Let's move full speed ahead. Tanya, issue your order. 11th Circuit, issue your order. And if it's going to happen, let's have Donald Trump, law and order guy, be the one through his attorney general who says, I want those cases dismissed. Let him do that. Let the American people hear that their president is reaching down Pennsylvania Avenue and telling an attorney general to dismiss indictments that were legitimately returned by 26 people in grand juries, finding probable cause that there were crimes committed by this president. Let Donald Trump do that. Let's not do that on Merrick Garland's watch.
Just 2 minutes left in the segment, Jim. What happens to the evidence, grand jury testimony, all the things in these cases? Do we ever get to see any of it?
You might. Again, you as a member of the media could petition for some of those things. Much of it otherwise would have been a part of the public domain if any of these things had gone to trial. Again, the Georgia case may still be tried at some point, but it will remain there. And certainly at some point, even historians may say, you know what, time has passed. I can now make a petition to the court, grand jury materials, release this as a part of the general informational interest of the American people. You eventually can get it.
The Georgia case, even if it was stalled or delayed because Trump is president, what happens to his co-conspirators in the RICO case?
Right, and there's the other interesting issue we haven't resolved, right? Probably should go ahead with them. And Scott McAfee, again, assuming that the appeals court lets Fannie Willis go ahead, he's got this back, and he may say, you know what, I'm bifurcating, there's your legal word for the afternoon, I'm bifurcating this trial. Donald Trump, he's in the White House, we're not trying him, but everybody else, pull out your calendars, let's schedule this on for trial. They are not subject to those kinds of immunity doctrines. At least that's not what Scott McAfee is, right?
And his co-conspirators would not be eligible for a presidential pardon.
That's exactly right. That's exact state case once again. And so a lot of people there still are not looking at this election as being the get out of jail free card.
You lay with the dogs, you get the fleas. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. That is James Santel, Jess P.S. on the board. Come back, take some of your calls, 855-752-4842.
The Dom Salvia Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 4 till 6. To learn more about this show and all the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
The top-selling Halloween candies in every state over the past 17 years.
Oh,
Nicely done, Melissa. I'm not sure.
What, were you clearing your throat? What was that?
It was a macabre kind of.
It really was.
Why the 17 years? That seems a little.
That's arbitrary.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Candystore.com.
When they started making Halloween candy, guys.
Oh yeah, 17 that's years definitely, ago. Definitely 17 years ago.
Weekdays from 8 to 10.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear from Mino and the mayor out of Green Bay. This week, Jim and John spoke with Tim Cody from the Fox Valley Veterans Council about what they provide for servicemen and women, as well as one of the most significant issues facing veterans in the Fox Valley, homelessness.
Sometimes when I'm falling, flying, tumbling in turmoil, I say, whoa, so this is what she means. She means we're bouncing at the Graceland. And I see.
Hey, welcome back. Tim Cody, Fox Valley Veterans Council, joining us today to talk about a Veterans Day event. And boy, you and Jim speak the same language. Every day, you guys try to find a way to help people have a roof over their heads. And I'm not trying to make that sound melodramatic, but it's the truth. You guys are the difference between having a roof over your head or literally sleeping in that the doorway over there.
Yeah,
sometimes
we need to work them out of homelessness. That's what our program is. I mean, we're not a shelter place, food and it's like, look, when you come to our place, it's like you want to leave that behind you. But it's hard. Everybody says, how the staff works so hard where I work, and we do, but the residents work a lot harder than we do because they're getting a new life. That's why it's called new community. Do you work the programs? I mean, I'm trying to get a handle on you. These utility bills come, or these unbelievable rent things come, or these medical bills come, and they say, look, you know, we're done. We're taking you down. You come in and kind of would rescue or save be the right word?
I would think, a buffer.
You know, I think of it like I'm holding them up, you know, so they can hang on to that window and pull themselves back through. And I'm giving that. I'm holding them to that point. So
you don't want you guys to be the end all for these people,
right?
Right.
Well, and I can't afford that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I can't afford that. Right. You know, the charity can't afford that right now. You know, so we are a temporary emergency.
All right.
Emergency assistance. So that's what we do. And the other thing, and I want to put a plug in for you guys. Always, you know, say I'm doing this. I'm not doing this. My caseworkers are doing this. You know, I'm the guy who's out there begging for money and talking to you guys and doing stuff like that.
Right.
I've got five volunteer caseworkers, and I have a case manager. The five caseworkers are volunteers. They do it on their own.
Wow.
And then the case manager is a paid employee. And I also have a community engagement manager who also does a lot of work with the veterans. You know, I take some of the phone calls when I'm there and everything else, but I try to focus on, you know, raising the money and doing all that stuff to keep the program going. And those folks are just absolutely, you know, fabulous in what they do. And it's just, you know, there are certain things that can be done. What we notice is there's just that gap when those people are getting ready to fall into complete homelessness or just total emergency. There was no net right there for that to stop right. To catch him for that,
yeah.
And so that's how why we filled that we filled that
like
spot.
Final step between
right.
Yeah. And so our job is to stop them from making that fall down the precipice.
But okay, so if we're talking about housing is the main thing, medical bills, like how can we get ahead of this? Because I think I just want to tell you from some experience I've had, you've got to read your mail. And if you don't like a bill, you got to call them. And there's a lot of people who will help
that
you.
That sounds like a pretty basic thing, but you say that is a legitimate problem, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there are lots of reasons for folks that are in there. Some of it's beyond their control. Some of it is within their control. We're there to help them so that they can start thinking more clearly and understand what's in their control and what they can do to better their lives, right? What are the small things you can do to get where you are? So, yeah, it's, you know, hey, return your phone calls, answer your mail, you know, even when we're trying to assist them, you know, trying to get some of them to just give us the basic documentation is difficult sometimes. Not always, not for every one of them, but, you know, there's no cookie cutter for any of these folks. And it depends. Sometimes medical bills have put them into it. Sometimes it's been substance abuse. Sometimes, you know, it's been a death. And I mean, you just never know what can send somebody into kind of a almost a dysfunctioning type of position.
I will say this for the people I dealt with at the village. We worked together with helping them. A lot of them got into whatever you want to call it, alcohol, drugs, whatever, whatever. And they were married, and the wife just basically said, nope, I'm not going to deal with this. And so she leaves, and she might have been the anchor for the whatever, whatever. And then they're on their own, which only leads to more substance issues to the point, and you, all three of us have dealt with this, where they're rock bottom, and they come to us or whomever to help them from there. Wouldn't you agree with that, Tim? And Jim, wouldn't you agree that happens a lot of times?
Yeah, I mean... It's usually a change in circumstances,
right,
whether it's your spouse or a best buddy, or you had a job and now that's gone, or, you know, physically all of a sudden you can't do something that brought you happiness and kept you in a good place,
exactly,
right? Now all of a sudden you're not in that good place, and that can just start to tumble you down.
And spirals.
You know, when people say, when you say don't open the mail, why aren't they opening the mail? Because they're scared of what's in the mail.
It's bad news.
And so it's bad news. And so they avoid it. Avoidance is a, you know, it's a human trait. Hey, if I turn my eyes, look away, it's not there yet. And if it's not going to be there immediately, that sometimes is their way of dealing with it, which is the wrong way to deal with it. But, I mean, that we need to understand why that's happening.
It's the worst way to deal with it.
Yeah. You know, we need to understand why that's why that happens. So we try to understand why what's happening, getting them help, but also getting them to go, hey, I have to take responsibility for some of where I'm at, right? And get them the help to do that.
But how it's so important. Yeah, you're trying to help them with this through this window, but that they have a little safety net for at least 30 days, because if it's all piling on, they're not thinking clearly.
Correct.
And then you make some bad decisions on top of other bad decisions,
right,
and then that's really bad. So we just really believe that, you know, we're in the whole Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, that you really have to have safe shelter,
right,
and food, and then you can start at least, okay, now I can make some decisions. But
sure.
Well, they have to have that.
Also
that
the
safety
pride,
is...
Also the pride factor of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. But I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting help.
Right.
And I think people need to be okay with that. There's nothing wrong with that. We live in a very tough world at times. And but if you can get that safety, that shelter, that you're safe, you're okay right now. Nothing's going to happen to you. We had a guy in here, Tim, that was homeless guy sleeping behind the police station.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was afraid to be getting beat up.
This guy was about 6'2", 260 pounds.
Big
tie, the last guy in the world I want to tangle with.
Right.
And he said he was scared to death every time he'd go to sleep because what could happen to him on the street. So he slept next to the police station, and they would roust him, of course, but he just felt safer there.
Sure.
So can you imagine, like I told Jim, I said, I go for walks on Sunday mornings around here. You see these ladies sleeping in doorways on a Sunday morning here. My God, I can't even imagine how scary that would be.
So what kind of decisions are they going to make?
Yeah, I mean, when you're at that point, you're really at the bottom. You're looking for, you're scrounging for food. You're looking to keep yourself safe. You know?
Are your headphones too loud?
No.
Okay. Okay. I see you taking them out. I didn't know.
Yeah,
that's a good
term.
Okay, go ahead. All right.
Yeah, we try to keep them from that point,
right? Yeah, I understand.
We try to stop before they get to there. And if they're there, we try to at least pull them out. So, you know, we can do some hotels for a while. We can do some stuff like that. But, you know, it's just...
We got to send a break. I want to bring up a point because I've been asked this question, and I'm not even exaggerating, probably 100 times, literally 100 times. Why are so many vets homeless? And what I try to tell people, if there was like homeless lawyers, homeless, you know, factory workers, it'd be the same type of thing,
right?
But at least there's organizations that have picked one entity to try to help, and that's the vets. I want to get on that because I get that question all the time. Quick break. Back after this.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News Brief, some names of possible high-level members of the Trump administration are beginning to leak out, says CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
The head of the CIA, John Ratcliffe, is seen as a top contender. And for Secretary of Defense, Mike Pompeo is a possibility, Trump's former Secretary of State.
A surprising number of wildfires are burning in New Jersey, says the chief of the state's Forest Fire Service, Bill Donnelly.
Currently, there are still 55 structures threatened in the event that the fire does not stay within its containment lines.
Prospects for the end of the conflict between Israel and Hamas have worsened. The BBC's Joe Inwood in Jerusalem says officials in Qatar will no longer mediate between the two parties because they believe neither wants to make peace.
This development comes at an already uncertain time. The transition from President Biden to President Trump leaves U.S. influence and policy in flux, with consequences for the remaining Israeli hostages and the beleaguered citizens of Gaza.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
This is your local civic media radio station.
Want to hear even more?
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
We got something going here in Madison. Power play goal, Simon Tassi. 2-1 Wisconsin. Stops one and another again to his left. He scores. Oh, he ripped that one over the glove hand. William Grima, like an octopus in a broom closet.
We are America's college hockey capital.
The relentless
Badger Hockey is brought to you by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. And by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. Welcome to the Badger Pregame Show.
Hands from Bob Johnson Rank inside the Kohl Center in Madison. Welcome to Wisconsin Badger Hockey. Tonight, the Badgers shoot for a series split against the third-ranked Minnesota Golden Gophers. Jacob Scott is our producer in our Learfield studios in Jefferson City, Missouri. Former Badgers defenseman and assistant coach Ian Perrin alongside. I'm Brian Posick. Well, the Badgers fell to 2-7 last night, 1-4 in the Big Ten with a 3-2 loss to the Golden Gophers. Wisconsin enjoyed its first two-goal lead of the season, jumping out 1-0 on Quinn Finley's power play goal in the first and then 2-0 on Kyle Kukkonen's breakaway early in the second period. But then a litany of penalties, Ian, took Wisconsin out of its game and Minnesota picked up the pace. Jimmy Snuggerud scored twice, including the game winner in the third, and the Gophers improved to 8-1, 3-0 in league play. Wisconsin, 8 out of 9 games this season, 2 goals or less. The only time they scored 3, they needed overtime to get there. It's just been a problem putting the puck in the back of the net.
Well, that's a big issue. I mean, there's no question about it. Talked to an old friend who's a scout in the NHL, said he was at the game last night, and he said, Ian, I think you better get realistic about Big Ten hockey. He goes, every game is going to be 3-2, 2-1, 4-3. There's so much parity in the Big Ten. He said, I'm amazed at how equal all the teams are. But he said, it's the one or two pivotal mistakes that are going to cost you every game. And so I kind of looked back at the stats and started talking to him about some stuff. And he said, yeah, when your top line goes -5, and your top line center takes 2 very uncalled for penalties, those are the mistakes that are going to cost you the game. And he was very blunt about it. He said, I'm not blaming lack of power play success or penalty kill success or whatever it is. He said, it's just those 2 or 3 pivotal plays, because there's so much parity, that can cost you a game or win you a game, one of the two.
Yeah, to emphasize your point, Minnesota's played 3 Big Ten games, 3-1, 1-0, and 3-2. Wisconsin's played 5 Big Ten games, lost 2-1 in overtime, lost 2-1, lost 3-2 in overtime, won 2-1, and lost 3-2. Badgers and Gophers expect another tight one here tonight, and it's a whiteout night. Most everybody is wearing whites, including Ian Perrin. Yes.
But I don't like the 6 o'clock start.
No, why that?
My wife says I don't get enough yard work done when I would have to leave at 4 instead of 5.
Priorities, wow. Man, priorities. Badgers and the Gophers. We'll hear from head coach Mike Hastings when we come back. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
When you think about early labor unions, do you think of Wisconsin? You should. The state's first labor union formed in Milwaukee in 1847 when the bricklayers organized, then the carpenters union in 1848. The National Labor Union didn't even form until 1866. A State Historical Society report shows Wisconsin's union members also pushed for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance legislation, becoming a model for other states. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
When it comes to advertising, the landscape gets more and more confusing every day. As a business owner, you've got dozens of choices on how to spread your message. At Civic Media, our goal is to help you unclutter that landscape. For 100 years, radio has successfully delivered customers to the doors of local businesses because we're local too. Local news, local topics, and local people that care about the places we broadcast. That gives your message credibility, and that's key when it comes to getting your message in the ears of the right people. Learn more about how this Civic Media station can help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us and click on sponsorship. From right here in our town to across the entire state of Wisconsin, we'll get the right message to the right people at the right time. And you'll be surprised how effective and budget-friendly radio advertising can be. Again, log on to civicmedia.com and click on sponsorship. We'll have a talk and help you craft the message that works for the people that you want to reach.
It was time to make our own Christmas traditions. For years, we've been trekking to both sets of in-laws, both Christmas dinners. It was just too much. So this year, we started to look for a place to get together in Alexandria, Minnesota. Christmas lights that will light up our kids' faces. A new adventure. Create some wonder. It makes us wonder, why didn't we do this sooner?
Start planning your time together in the Lakes area. Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
Tonight, Wisconsin and Minnesota. Gophers rallied last night for a 3-2 victory and improved to 8-1. And obviously, the Badgers not where they want to be right now. Head coach Mike Hastings is with us. And Mike, a lot of people listening as they're coming in to the rink here tonight. If you don't mind, kind of give them a sense of what it was like in the locker room last night when you come back after the loss and you have to address your team.
Well, those aren't fun moments. But you know what I think? When you ask the guys, as well as our staff, you've got to look in a mirror. You know, and we had gotten ourselves into a good spot, didn't manage the game as well as we should. Two things that, in my opinion, haven't been huge issues for us are rear their ugly head last night. We're getting ready to go on a power play, and our puck management isn't what it should be, and they turn around and score a shorthanded goal on a 3-on-1 that went from our tape to their tape to the back of our net. And then discipline the second period. The guys have done a really good job of being disciplined really up until that point. So, you know, we found ourselves in a 2-2 ball game, and you know, for us right now, the next step for us is to get to 3. And the next step for us is to win a third period. Even last Saturday, we scored a goal late in the second period and had that stand up. So we ended up winning a hockey game last night in an even game against a very good hockey team in our own building. You've got to find a way to get that next one. And last night we didn't.
Yeah. And we talked about it before last night's game and all week. You give Minnesota a power play too often, they're going to convert. And they've got so many talented players out there. They went dot to dot, and Snuggerud usually doesn't miss when he's got half a net to shoot.
Yeah, and you know what? That's just one too many. And I, again, a different issue for us. So it's one we've addressed. And, you know, in this world, when you get into your season, it's you better turn the page. If you sit there and you address what happened, you address what was good, you address what wasn't, you learn from it and you move on, because we have to start on time tonight. Mm-hmm. Last night, I thought we did that. Yeah. Really good first period. Thought we finished the first period well. Up 1-0, effective on the power play, stayed out of the box. Middle of second period, things started to go awry for us a little bit.
When we get to this point, where the record that you have, there's these woulda, shoulda, coulda type things, and I think Ryland Mosley had 3 point-blank shots. You know, he scores 18 a year ago, and more times than not, he's going to put the puck in the back of the net. He pots 1 or 2, and that's a whole different ball.
Yeah, and, you know, with that whole transition from us being up 2 to getting it to 2-1 instead of 3-0 is, in my opinion, a momentum swing. And so we're continuing to learn as a group. It's painful to learn sometimes, and it's been painful for our group, but I think the guys are excited about trying to defend our home ice against the Gophers. It's these are very emotion-filled series, and we have to get off to a good start tonight.
More with head coach Mike Hastings coming up. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Which schools will take home the prestigious Learfield Director's Cup as the top college athletic programs for the 2024-25 college athletics season? You can follow the standings of your favorite team or alma mater at L Director's Cup on Twitter and online at TheDirectorsCup.com. Trophies will be awarded in June 2025 to the winning institutions in all college sports divisions. Learfield Director's Cup, the crowning achievement in college athletics.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL, no problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Badgers and Gophers again here tonight. Face off a little bit after 6 o'clock. Head coach Mike Hastings is with us. And, you know, I look at your leadership group. I've known Owen Lindmark for a long time, and Daniel Lodge and Anthony Kerr as well. Anthony missed last weekend series against Notre Dame. You couldn't tell last night. And Daniel Lodge gives everything he's got as well. Those two in particular, in the back end, with the injuries that you had back there, boy, they lead by example, don't they?
Yeah, they have. And the one thing about Kiersey is sometimes you've got to look at him and just remind him, because he's trying to do as much as he can to just trust himself, trust his game. Last night, I thought he got a little over-aggressive at times, but it's because he's trying to do the right things. And Daniel Och, he's been a rock for us. Talked to him a little bit today. I think he's excited about a race in last night's game and trying to build on the first period tonight. But those are two guys that have been rocks for us, and they're going to continue to be.
Logan Hensler back in the lineup tonight. Didn't play last night. Got banged up Saturday at Notre Dame. How's he doing?
Really good. He's had a good week, you know, because of what he's had to go through this week just to be able to play. You know, hopefully he's going to be able to get out and get to his game sooner than later, and we're going to have to just manage him a little bit early so that he can get into the flow of the group. But he's, you know, right now he's paired with Dexy, and Dexy and him, I thought, were really effective last Friday at Notre Dame, where I thought Logan played his best game of the year.
In that game Friday, he had four shots on goal. He had a helper. He's got offensive talents. He also blocked four shots. How's he coming as a defenseman?
He's starting to round out his game. He's always, because of his skating ability, and he does have vision from wall to wall. He's somebody that likes to transport the puck. He's understanding that sometimes at this level, you need to move it and then get it back, because people are going to finish their checks on you, and especially a guy with his abilities. So, you know, his management has gotten better, and as you and I had talked about last Friday, I thought he was exceptional. I thought he was a difference maker with it. I thought he was a difference maker without it, because he defended, he blocked shots, his most complete 60-minute game.
Finally, William Grandma will go back-to-back for the first time in his collegiate career. He gave you a chance to win last night. He was good.
He did. You know, and for us, we ask our goaltender to stop the ones that he should and maybe a few that he shouldn't, and I thought he did that last night. A couple that went from dot to dot back to the middle that he stopped, and he gave us a chance, and we're going to definitely need him again tonight.
Head coach Mike Hastings, Wisconsin and Minnesota coming up. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Wisconsin traditions have been built for years around the Badgers, game day, and the mascot. But lead miners are the original Badgers in the state, not the animal or the mascot. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like Badgers by digging tunnels into the hillsides to stay warm and sleep where they worked. It led to the reason why today you really can't think of Wisconsin without thinking Badgers. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy, and today's Work Money word is fiduciary. Well, fiduciary is a mega important term that you got to know when it comes to getting professional financial advice. In the world of money, you want someone committed to the fiduciary standard, because those folks are legally obligated to act in your best interest only. I mean, every other broker or advisor or banker who has not specifically committed to the fiduciary standard and told you that that's what they're doing, those folks don't have that obligation. They could be selling you products or encouraging you to invest in things or put your money in places that end up helping their wallet even more than yours. So simply put, anytime that you are hiring a financial advisor, ask them if they uphold the fiduciary standard. For me and mine, fiduciary advisors are the only ones I'm trusting my money to. That was your Work Money Minute. For more, check out workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
He is a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy, one of Wisconsin's own. Dobie Maxwell joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabba, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the...
You got Amish. Oh, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
From NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, or you can't drive high. You can run, or you can't drive high.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin and Minnesota meet here again tonight for the 313th time. Gophers won last night. Raced a 2-0 deficit and beat the Badgers 3-2. Minnesota now 8-1, 3-0 under seventh-year head coach Bob Motzko. And Ian, you got your first-hand look at the Gophers for the first time this season. Nathan Airey was good in goal. We'll see Liam Soulier, the former Penn State Nittany Lion, tonight.
They return seven defensemen from last year's team. They also have interchangeable parts as far as their forward lines are concerned. And actually, the line chart that Bob Motzko put out tonight is entirely different than last night. Only three of his 12 forwards are in the same spot on the line chart as they were last night. And then you look at the top line center is now moved to the top line left wing, Oliver Moore. The top line right wing, Brody Ziemer, is now the second line left wing. And the top line left wing, Beckett Hendrickson, is now the fourth line left wing. Interchangeable parts, good or bad? I suppose it's good, you know?
Two things.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a luxury to have. I mean, if you honestly feel that way, it's a luxury to have. Number two, how much is Bobby Motzko playing with the brains of everybody else in this thing? Mm-hmm. I just laugh all the time because he's been a good friend for a long, long, long time. The first coach in the USHL that I ever sat down and talked about a player with back in 1983.
Wow.
Or 82 or 83. I can't remember now. He was a coach in Mason City. They dressed in a trailer at their rink because the rink was just being redone. And my job as the graduate assistant, well, I can't remember if it was Jeff Sauer or Bob Johnson, said, go through the USHL and do an evaluation on every Wisconsin hockey player that's playing in the USHL. So I sat down with Bobby Motzko, and he goes, Ian, we're two plugs sitting in a beat-up old rink talking about Wisconsin hockey players. Where the hell are we going to go with our lives? I'll never forget that as long as I live. He was just a great guy.
Yeah.
But even when he was a USHL coach and before when he was not at Minnesota, it was nothing for him to list the third-string goaltender as the starting goaltender.
Sure.
At the end of the first shift, yank him. I mean, just play games like that. I'm sure it's not as prolific as it was in those days, but just in a situation where I don't know if he's trying to screw with the other coaches' minds or just the other team's minds or making sure that kids are sharp. I don't really know what happens with it, but, yeah, it is a nice luxury to have. Be able to flip-flop people left and right. And we had talked before about how coach has said, you know, I want to know who likes to play with each other.
Sure.
And so he has more sit-down conversations with his players one-on-one. I think it's a good situation to be in. But you also know you're going to have to break some hearts.
Yep.
And maybe by just flip-flopping people left and right, Bobby Motzko goes, I'm not going to break anybody's hearts. I'm going to break them all.
Right now what he's doing is working. They're 8-1 and lead the Big Ten at 3-0 with 9 points so far this season. Also tonight, Ohio State tries to earn a split at Michigan State after the Spartans beat the Buckeyes last night 4-2 to snap their 8-game unbeaten streak to start the season. And Michigan beat Notre Dame in overtime. They meet again tonight in Ann Arbor. We'll set the line charts when we come back for Wisconsin and Minnesota. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Hey there, Badger fans. It's Jack Forbach, right wing from Wisconsin Men's Hockey. We're ready to amp up our game this season, and we want you in our corner. With a VC Connect membership, you can contribute to our path to championships both on and off the ice. As a member, you'll gain access to exclusive experiences, behind-the-scene insights, and unique opportunities to connect with student-athletes like never before. VC Connect has tunnel vision on victory. Do you? Head over to vcconnectwi.com today and become a key player in our winning community.
To women's sports, there's no place like UW. Our women set the standard for elite performance. From the volleyball court to the hockey rink, every set, spike, and score pushes the boundaries of what's possible. UW Health mirrors this dedication to greatness. Our extraordinary team of doctors combines revolutionary research with compassionate care, setting the benchmark for healthcare across the country. So for the best care and the best athletics, it's easy. UW all the way. UW Health. Remarkable.
Hey Badger fans, fall is here and you know what that means. Chilly days are just around the corner. Don't let the cold catch you off guard. That's why it's good to know the knowledgeable, friendly dealers at Bryant Heating and Cooling who will do whatever it takes to keep your furnace running efficiently, no matter what the weather throws at you. Plus, score up to $2,600 in tax credits on qualifying Bryant systems. Ask about local rebates and financing for qualified buyers. Find your local dealer at Bryant.com. That's Bryant.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Matt LePay, voice of the Badgers. On the field, the Badgers are always on the move. Off the field, that's where Evans Transportation comes in. As Wisconsin's 3PL, they move over 30,000 shipments a year right here in the Badger State. That's dedication to keep things moving here in Scotty. Evans is excited to support Badger student-athletes and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Find them at evanstrans.com. That's evanstrans.com. Go Badgers!
White out here at the Kohl Center in Madison, and they've handed out several thousand glow sticks as well. With the lights down, the player introductions forthcoming. Red glow sticks waving back and forth with a good-sized crowd so far for the series finale. Badgers trying to get a split. Let's check the UW Health injury update. UW Health Sports Medicine, the healthcare team for the Badgers and proud partner of UW Athletics. Tommy Scarfone, goaltender, will miss his second straight game with a lower body injury. Defenseman Zach Scholes and Joe Palatichuk out again. Upper body injuries. Good to have Logan Hensler back in the lineup. He didn't play last night, went through concussion protocol, but he's all good after getting injured last Saturday at Notre Dame. The healthy scratches are Luke Buss, and Weston Knox. As for the quick trip lineups, Wisconsin will go back with William Grama, the sophomore from Stockholm. Last night, he was good. Ian stopped 28 of 31 shots, but took the loss.
It takes the loss, and I can't blame him for any of the three goals because Snuggerudes were off the pass. He was on the other side of the net, had to come to this side of the net. And I mean, he made probably 10 saves that he shouldn't have made.
Yeah.
And he let in three that he should have, couldn't have made. I guess that would be the best way. Yeah, he kept him in the game for a long time just because of the magnificent saves that he made on those breakaways.
Starting defensive pair tonight, senior Daniel Lodge from Altoona, the Pittsburgh Penguins draft choice, 6'5", has a goal in 9 games. Jack Horbach, the junior forward from Naperville, forced into action in the back end. He's yet to score a point in 8 games so far. And the starting forward line for Mike Hastings' squad, the left winger Quinn Finley, he scored his team-leading 6th goal of the season last night, but was also -2, the New York Islanders' third-round draft choice. Freshman Gavin Morrissey in the pivot from Rochester Hills, Michigan, and then Ryland Mosley from Martin Pryor, Ontario. 2 goals, 6 points for the Michigan Tech transfer. For Bob Motzko's Gophers, in goal, it's Liam Soulier, the grad student from Montreal, played his first 4 years of college hockey at Penn State, where he's second all-time in victories with 39. His career record against Wisconsin is 4-5 with a very solid .920 save percentage in those 9 games. But Ian, his last 3 appearances against Wisconsin as a Nittany Lion, Soulier went 0-3 with a .467 goals against and an .831 save percentage. I know the Badgers would like to see that Liam Soulier and not the cat that beat him 4 out of 6 times when he first had their go-around.
Well, I think the other thing that we're thinking about, we're forgetting about, is that Penn State is a shoot it from any place, anytime, get more shots on net, we're going to win the game.
Yeah.
And so that wide-open brand of hockey against a tight defensive-knit team like Wisconsin or even Minnesota, if you want to call it that, but you just get into a situation, if you're not scoring on your 50 shots a game, guys like Liam Soulier are going to be left hanging out to dry.
Soulier this season 3-1, third best goals against in the country at .125, fifth best save percentage at .948. He shut out his former team last Saturday at Mariucci, stopping 28 shots in a 1-0 victory. Starting defenseman for Minnesota is sophomore Sam Renzel, the Chicago Blackhawks draft choice, and fifth-year senior Mike Kester from Chaska, Minnesota. Starting centerman Jimmy Clark from Edina, Minnesota, 3 goals, 10 points. His left winger is a former first-round pick of the Blackhawks, Oliver Moore from Moundsview, Minnesota. Just a goal and 5 points for the sophomore forward. And on the right wing is a first-round pick for the Nashville Predators. He's Matthew Wood, a left-hander at 6'4", 205, 3 goals and 13 points so far this season. Badgers and the Gophers. First, we pause 10 seconds for station identification, 10 seconds for a legal ID. You're listening to Wisconsin Badger Hockey.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
So we've set the Quick Trip lineups for you, and the opening faceoff brought to you by Odyssey Greek Yogurt is coming up. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs. Whether it's music or anything else,